Nobody grows up saying, I want to get into licensing, because they don't know what it is. It's a fun business. It's a creative business.
Okay, welcome to India Licensing Post. I'm in conversation with Marty Brockstein from Licensing International New York. He's a senior vice president, industry relations and information, and we're going to have a little bit of a freewheeling chat on the sidelines of the India Licensing Expo. So welcome, Marty.
Thank you.
Welcome to India. On behalf of the city of Mumbai, I wish to extend our apologies. You've had a bit of a bumpy landing in India. Tell us a little about what you went through.
It's been a pleasant visit, which got off to a little bit of a bumpy start due to the baggage gods. My baggage didn't make it all the way to Mumbai the first try, so eventually everything worked out and things were just great.
Excellent. Marty got a brief insight into weekend shopping in Mumbai and the traffic that accompanies it. The end of season sale. Anyway, so coming down to the business of licensing, let's have a little bit of a chat and glean some insights from Marty. So Marty, I will request you to probably repeat some of the stuff you shared with us yesterday during your session.
Sure.
On global licensing brands, right? India, for example, has moved up two spots, but at a global level, for someone who didn't manage to make it to India Licensing Expo yesterday because of the rains, could you give us a quick sort of top line on the licensing business?
Sure, I'd be happy to. One of the things we're very pleased about is that globally, the licensing business has been on a very steady upturn, to the extent that over the past 3 years, there's been better than 11% growth in the global business, and for the first time passed the $280 billion mark in terms of retail sales and other revenues associated with trademark licensing. In India, we were very pleased that in 2018, the business grew 7.8%, which was the second largest growth rate of any country that we chart globally. And India moved from the 20th spot in 2017 to the 18th spot on the country rankings in 2018, with a little better than $1.5 billion worth of licensing business being done in India. The growth of the business is being driven by relatively healthy economies in a lot of places. Plus, the creativity that's associated with this business is one of the things that I've always loved about it. You never know where the next hit is coming from.
Exactly.
And that's part of the magic of it. If anybody tells you that they knew that Pokemon was going to be a big success, you should doubt them, because nobody knew it was going to be the success globally that it became. Spider-Man was a relatively underexposed comic book character from Marvel before there was a movie made, and all of a sudden people caught on to Spider-Man, and thus a franchise was born. So it's really a fascinating business that way, and it's definitely on a growth path globally.
You also showcased some of the partnerships that have been happening between brands, right? There's a lot of collaboration, so to speak, with brands trying to get into different conversations, as you put it, right?
Right.
You talked about the Stranger Things tie-up with Nike and the Vans tie-up with Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
We cover a lot of these collaborations on India Licensing Post as well.
Sure.
And it's interesting. What are you, for example, what advice would you give a brand owner, right, when they are considering a collaboration with another brand?
Okay. I mean, collaborations are a very special kind of licensing, in that what you're trying to do is combine two brands and in the hopes that 1 + 1 = 3.
Yeah.
That the strength of the two brands will combine. The idea for any collaboration like that is that for each of the partners, it will bring them to a new audience that maybe they weren't penetrating that well. So for the tie-up between Nike and Stranger Things, you have the people who might have been watching Stranger Things who weren't necessarily buying Nike product, but yet they'll see this tie-up and they'll say, all right, maybe Nike is the brand for me. So it works for Nike that way. And for Stranger Things, well, obviously Nike itself is a strong brand, and it's true to the storyline. So again, it brings a new audience, or brings you an existing audience that maybe didn't think of you in a certain way. Same thing with Vans and Harry Potter. There are countless examples like that, but that's really when it works really well. But a basic licensing deal, you know, that's not even a collaboration, a typical licensing deal, what a potential licensee has to be thinking about is this brand that I'm looking at, what does it mean? Who does it mean something to? Is this an audience I'm trying to cultivate? Is this possibly, if I take this license, will it get me into new distribution? Will it get me into a new retailer that I haven't been able to crack before? And the same for the brand owner. It's, all right, if I hook up with this licensee, does it tap me into their expertise? And can I, you know, increase my business in a way that generates revenue, but also maybe makes my brand look better and creates other opportunities?
Yeah. Have you come across any collaborations recently that have sort of taken you by surprise in that you said, that's very unique, I didn't think that would work? You know, if...
Boy, that's a great question. I should say that I'm smart enough that nothing surprises me anymore, but that wouldn't be true. It's really tough off the top of my head to think of a truly surprising thing. What I notice are when things are very well executed.
Yeah.
And I think, for example, the Nike Stranger Things that we were talking about is particularly well executed because some of the apparel or some of the sneakers are actually the new season of Stranger Things takes place in 1985.
Yeah.
And these sneakers and the look of the sneakers are very true to the time period.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not just about slapping a logo on something.
Yeah.
It's really creating product. And that's where, when I talked earlier about the creativity that goes into this business, it's easy to slap a logo on something.
Exactly.
And slap a character on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The really fun part is when somebody gets creative and takes it to that next level.
Yeah.
So it's a licensed product, but you might not even think of it as a licensed product. It's just a product that looks good or feels good or does the job you want it to do.
Because what tends to happen, for example, in the Indian market a lot, is when you don't have a good enough idea, you just get in a Bollywood star, right? And make him mouth a few dialogues. And there sometimes is there's no fit, so to speak, with the brand, right? But and that sort of gets... promoted as being a licensing or a licensed venture, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's the lack of maturity in the market. Maybe we need to grow more. What are your thoughts on
that? I think that goes on everywhere in the world.
Sure.
There are always easy, less profitable ways to do something.
Sure.
And then there are the better ways.
Sure.
And hopefully the marketplace will reward those who go that extra step.
Sure.
And think about the product and think about the tie-in and what makes sense and what doesn't make sense.
Sure.
To that same thing. So I would say there are those easy paths that are taken everywhere in the world.
Sure.
Whether it's done here in India more than elsewhere, I can't say.
Correct.
But obviously, as the market matures, it attracts, one of the great things about growth of the marketplace is it attracts creativity. that people see the possibilities.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, when I travel to various places around the world, it's really fun to see the cross-pollination of ideas.
Yeah.
And, you know, an idea from Japan takes root in India.
Yeah.
Or an idea from the U.S. takes root in China.
Sure.
So that's part of the fun for me is sure. seeing those things happen.
Okay. So for the listener's benefit, what I didn't mention at the top of the interview is Marty is a seasoned journalist. Spent over 15 years, I believe. Over 30 years in the business. And he should actually be the one asking the questions. So I'm terrified right now sitting here and asking questions. But you covered consumer electronics and mm-hmm. you covered licensing as well.
I've covered the retail business. Consumer electronics, licensing, and retail are probably the three biggest, the three that I've covered the most.
Any thoughts or advice for young journalists listening in that you would want to give?
Yes. Probably the biggest piece of advice is don't concentrate on the journalism. Concentrate on knowing a subject well enough so that you can write knowledgeably, so that you can ask knowledgeable enough questions when you're writing about that business. The worst thing is somebody who knows how to write and knows how to interview but doesn't know anything else.
Sure.
You really have to have a base of knowledge in the world.
Sure.
So you never know where you're going. The other thing is you never know where you're going to end up. I never dreamed. Nobody grows up wanting to get into licensing because they don't know what it is.
Correct.
I sort of fell into it. I was covering, as a journalist, I was covering the video game business. There was a lot of licensing going on in the video game business. I started to learn more and more about it.
Sure.
So probably for a prospective journalist, it's, you know, there's the craft of journalism, but you also have to have a knowledge so that you can write about something.
Sure. Which brings me to my next question about the knowledge about the licensing business, right? We've had the Lima booth, or the Licensing International booth, I'm going to edit that out, at the India Licensing Expo, and we've had a lot of people walking up to us mm-hmm. wondering what Licensing International is about,
right.
what licensing per se as a business or an industry is about,
mm-hmm.
and you know, what we can offer them, right? So what it's creditable that License India and Franchise India sort of have taken the baton and you know, taken sort of the torch and want to educate people about an industry,
right.
that or a business opportunity rather, that very few know about,
mm-hmm.
but could benefit them in many
right.
more ways than they know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how would you explain licensing to somebody who's not aware of the business?
I think the best way to explain it is to say that what you're doing, if you're a manufacturer and you're looking at licenses, what you're looking to do is tap into the reputation of that brand. The brand has a certain identity. It taps a certain emotion. When I talk about licensing, I always come back to that word, emotion, because a brand doesn't mean anything unless it instills some particular emotion in a target consumer.
Excuse me.
How are you?
You know, the emotion, it might be a sense of humor.
Yeah.
It might be identification with a character.
Yeah.
It might be trust in a brand of household cleaners or something that your mother used when you were growing up.
Yeah.
It might be the beauty of a piece of art. Whatever that emotion is, if that doesn't exist, then the brand really has no value. And there's no reason that anybody should pay a royalty to the brand owner to license that brand. So the first thing you need to look for, and the first thing, you know, if you're a potential licensee, Or the first thing you should understand about your brand is what emotion does it create in some consumer, some potential consumer.
Yes.
So really what you're doing, what the licensing transaction is saying, okay, I can put that brand on that product, and as a manufacturer, I can sell more of the product and make a better profit and sell more goods by using that brand than if the brand wasn't there.
Correct. Correct.
You know, somebody is selling, and I'm going to use, I apologize, I'm going to use a U.S. example, but I think the New York Yankees are very well known, and if I'm a manufacturer of blue t-shirts, I can sell a certain number of blue t-shirts, but if I put a New York Yankee logo on that t-shirt, I can sell whatever that number is, plus, plus, plus. So that's the calculation I'm making as a businessman. Is it worth the extra money I'm going to pay to sell X number more t-shirts? And generally the answer is yes.
Okay. That's great. I think I would want to... So which categories to you, for example, are sunrise categories in licensing? Right, we all know that the largest share of the pie is with character licensing, right, which is around 53% of the overall business currently. Which category do you believe is futuristic, right, in terms of entrepreneurs should look at investing in?
There are a couple of answers to that question.
Okay,
in terms of merchandise. Probably some of the areas that are on a growth curve are digital properties, things based out of video games or apps or things of that sort. The esports business is rising. There's the possibility that that could become a very big business in terms of licensed merchandise. So that's on the merchandise side. Those are two things that I think of immediately for growth. Another area, And this is why I'm trying not to only talk about retail sales, is the whole idea of experiences. Everybody in the value chain is trying to figure out how to get people away from their keyboards and to actually go and shop in stores.
Correct.
There's a definite amount of shelf space.
Yes.
And everybody's competing for that same shelf space. So the store operators, the mall operators, are trying to figure out how to deal with e-commerce. One way to do that is to make the mall a meeting place, a gathering place, a town center, but also to create experiences. Hasbro, the toy company, actually they would think of themselves as an entertainment company at this point with all the films they've done and all that.
Yeah.
But I know that one of the things that they're looking at our Nerf Activity Center. So a good example is that Hasbro, the toy company, although they're as much an entertainment company now, but they are creating Nerf Activity Centers that can be placed in malls, that mall developers are looking for things that, you know, you can't run around and shoot a Nerf gun on your keyboard. You have to come to the mall to do it. So they love that act. It's a great promotion for Hasbro. They can sell merchandise out of that, Nerf merchandise. So the whole idea of experiences is very big in licensing, because today's younger consumer in particular, and many of those young consumers now are having families, they are interested as much in experiences as in accumulating more stuff.
Yeah.
So if you can give them an experience, be it a theme park, be it putting your brand on mini golf, be it on a water park, whatever it might be, an amusement park. You know, there's an amusement park in Spain built around the brand Ferrari.
Correct.
You've seen cruises branded with Cartoon Network. You see all sorts of these experiences, and that's definitely a growth area for most of the licensors.
Excellent.
So we've understood a lot about the licensing business from you, got some great insights.
Okay.
On a personal level, right? You have two grandkids.
That's right.
How does your experience in licensing translate into a relationship with them? You talk to me about the Bakugan experience that you had with them.
That's right.
Would you like to share that with
us? Well, I have followed their development. One is now 4 years old. The other, his older brother is six. And I have followed them through Sesame Street and Thomas the Tank Engine and Paw Patrol. And now the older one is very much into Bakugan. I knew enough about all the others that I could play along. I'm learning a lot more about Bakugan every day through the eyes of a six-year-old. And of course, his younger brother wants to be part of it too. So it's really interesting for me. And one of the industries that I covered early in my career was the toy business. So I've known something about the toy business. But seeing these brands and seeing these licenses again through the eyes of a child, It reminds you what it's all about. It's
true.
It's giving them a certain amount of delight.
True.
And it's a sense of belonging that they and their friends are into Thomas or Bakugan or whatever. So it's really interesting. It keeps you from looking too cynically at this business. And it reminds you that it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So
I have a 9-year-old son and a 4-year-old daughter, and I'm constantly reminded of the power of characters, right? One is into Little Pony, My Little Pony, rather.
That's right.
My son is more into digital gaming, so there's a platform called Roblox.
Yeah.
And he's created an avatar for me as well, right? Spends a lot of time on it. The question I wanted to ask was about responsibility of brands, considering the amount of time that kids spend, with these brands. How important is it for brand owners, licensees, to check themselves so that they don't cross the line? And who demarcates the line? In the first place.
It's important for the brand owners to do that.
Yeah.
It's also important for the parents to do that.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer that the brand owner has great responsibility to have the right messages attached to their characters and brands and all, and to ethically source the goods that they license and all those things. But it's also the responsibility of the parents not to abdicate all the responsibility to the toy company or the brand owner.
Correct.
They have a responsibility to there are healthy amounts of play and there are unhealthy amounts of play. So the brand owner definitely, and I think most of them are very, very good at having the right messages. For the most part, and thinking about the fact that they are dealing with kids. So yes, there's a responsibility on that side, but it's a dual responsibility.
It's a dual responsibility.
Yeah.
Correct. So the other thing you do, sorry, it's a bit of a disjointed because you do
That's
a lot of stuff,
fine.
Right? So I'm trying to cover everything. Is also formulate course material for colleges,
yep.
Right, to educate students about the
absolutely
opportunity in the licensing business.
Absolutely.
In fact, you told me that your next assignment or your assignment this week when you reach the U.S. is to go and teach a class of students at the New York University. So tell us a little
Correct.
More about what you're doing on the academic side. For Licensing International?
Well, Licensing International, broadly, we feel that one of our big missions, a big part of our mission, is to grow the licensing business. And, we have to help create the next generation of licensing professionals. And the earlier we start that, the better off everybody is. So we've been working with a few universities. In one case, we helped them establish a formal minor course of study in licensing and branding. But the guest lecturing I'm doing this week at New York University is pretty typical in that you have a class of students who are learning about the business of entertainment or sports or whatever, and they don't really understand what this licensing thing is. Because as I said earlier, nobody grows up saying, I want to get into licensing, because they don't know what it is. They want to be on the National Cricket Club, cricket team or something. But, at a certain point they say, all right, maybe I'm not good enough for that, but I can stay connected with the sport by getting into the licensing business and getting into, getting in with a major sporting goods manufacturer or something of that sort. So really what I do when I talk to classes like that is try to relate this business to their everyday lives, and most of them don't really know how pervasive the licensing business is in their lives around them, and you have to show them examples, and they kind of sit back and go, oh, but you could do XYZ, and that's when you see the wheels turning and the juices flowing.
Sure.
In the best cases.
Sure.
And they say, wow, this is a pretty interesting business, because like me, I didn't plan on getting this involved in this business, but it's a fun business, it's a creative business, and I guess my job in doing those kinds of guest lectures is to try to turn them onto it. So hopefully we get a few good new executives out of it.
Excellent. So before we wrap up, Marty, tell us about some of your favorite characters that you grew up with.
My favorite characters. I was a Superman and Batman kid.
Okay.
I grew up with Mickey Mouse.
Did you break stuff around the in the house with your cape on?
I've totally blocked those memories. Maybe okay. my mother would have been able to tell you about that. But really, very early on, I was into sports more than characters.
Okay.
So whatever the local baseball, football, basketball, hockey, whatever sport it was.
Yes.
I had lots of merchandise.
Amazing.
I grew up in a very sports-oriented household, so that's where I went even more so than characters.
Excellent. So, yeah. Excellent. Cool, Marty. Thanks for having this chat with us.
I'm very happy to have done it.
And we hope your next experience in India will be a lot less bumpy.
Again, aside from...
But we should say thanks to Air France. We should get Air France to sponsor this conversation.
I was just going to say we should get Air France to sponsor. But my visit within India has been wonderful. The rain accepted. It kind of slows things down. But other than that, it's been a delightful experience. And I've been here several times before, and I hope to come back several times in the future.
Super. Thanks a lot, Marty.
Thank you.